Welcome everyone to the Northern Affinity video podcast. So I'm Michael Edwards. I am the founder of the Northern Affinity. Thank you very much for joining today's discussion. Well, we'll go to our expert that we are speaking to very, very soon. But I also want to give you an update on what the purpose of this conversation is. So for me, there's twofold, really. Firstly, it's for you and I to learn something from the person that we are speaking to get new ideas, to stimulate thought. That's a great start for me. But secondly, for me, which is a big passion of mine, is to give a platform to the person I'm speaking to. It's an opportunity for really, really good people who are doing really, really good things to demonstrate that and for you to hopefully see that. So, and now that the kind of overall, all our contributors are these type of people, are small business owners, people are doing things for good. So please, if you could follow and subscribe, whether you're watching this as a video on YouTube or you're listening via your various podcast platforms, please do subscribe. Listen to our other contributors. There's been some fantastic discussions we've had in the past, and I'm sure we will have in the future. So thank you very much. I'm delighted to say now the video podcast is sponsored by Leeds Beckett University and their Help to Grow management training program. If you have a business, an SME that has between 5 and 250 employees, and you're looking at something to help you and your business grow, I would advise looking at this. It's 90% funded. It's a fantastic opportunity for so many people. The program's open now, so please do check it out, and I'll put all the details in the show notes. Enjoy the discussion. So welcome to the latest edition of the video podcast from Northern Affinity. As people who are watching on video will be able to see, I'm absolutely delighted to say that I'm joined by Marcus. So thank you for joining us, Marcus.
Hi there. Hi. Thank you for having me.
Oh, no worries. So today we're going to cover the subject around brand and building a personality into that brand. But before we go into those details, do you want to quickly tell us about yourself, Marcus, and your business and what you're doing, and then we can kind of take it all from there.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Right, let's get the boring stuff out of the way with. So my name is Marcus Morganetti. My company's called Single Thread. We're a very small agency based in Slathwaite or Slarrett, if you live in the area, which is very near to Huddersfield. We're pretty new. We only launched about 6 months ago. We're a full scope strategy driven design agency. So we do everything in-house, websites, branding, packaging, but we are predominantly strategy driven with how we do things, and really I suppose the key element is also, you know, what we're talking about today is that our focus is on personalities, building and creating personalities and allowing ambitious SMEs, founders and CEOs to basically stand out really from the competition, and the way you do that is through personality.
Absolutely, and we'll kind of go into the whys in a minute, but I think it's always important to kind of get everyone on the same page, essentially, is brand. It's probably, I might be wrong on this, one of my experiences, one of those things that's one of the most confused in terms of what people think a brand is. Because obviously there's kind of traditional branding, personal branding's become obviously a bit of a buzzword in the last few years. So do you want to kind of explain to me what you, your definition, what you think branding is?
Strategy and branding, two big things that are thrown around and they don't necessarily always have the right context. Very, very true. The thing about branding, I suppose if you step away a little bit more from branding and start a bit before that, really, is if you look at what's the strategy of your business, your strategy is your unique offer, what it is that you're offering, and the product is, I suppose your product is the way that you deliver that value at the end of the day, and your brand, coming further into it, is the way that you communicate that value. So it's a part of a tier system, really, branding. Branding isn't the thing that sits alone on its own in its ether. It's part of a much bigger picture. I think it's also where people sometimes, companies, when you're busy building, you get that set of protocols the wrong way around. So sometimes people start with the branding, start with how do I communicate it, but without working out, well, what's the strategy, what's our offer, what are we selling, and what are we doing, and why are we doing it, before you get to the brand. So brand, in the simplest form, brand is the way that you communicate the value of your business, and that can come in multiple forms, as we all know. So that's from your logo to your website to your design, typography, tone of voice. There's a plethora of sections that you can build into your brand.
Yeah, so essentially it's kind of, I guess it's the look and feel of your business. And I think the look bit is probably the bit that people probably more understand, but it's also the feel, isn't it? How people feel about you and the business and what you do and how you do things and where you are and all that kind of stuff as well.
Feel's the word. You've nailed it. If you start with feelings, we're all human beings. I think it's quite an emotive, emotional, fluffy word, feelings, but actually it needs to sit right in the middle of how you build a brand, because at the end of the day, you're making human connections. You know, it doesn't matter what you're selling and how you're doing it, there's a human behind that decision to buy it. And that's about building a personality, which then creates a feeling, which allows an emotional connection, which then allows you to make a decision. So, yeah, it's quite funny that, you know, it doesn't matter what type of business in, you can be selling insurance, but or, you know, medical supplies. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's still, the fundamentals are still based on a feeling and an emotion and a personal connection. And I think that's why we're so passionate about, why we believe that personality is so important as part of building your brand.
Yeah, and I guess that kind of very runs nicely into my next question around the personality element of it and brand, because, you know, I think probably, you know, I might be wrong or not, I think some businesses might be a bit easier to bring across a personality in terms of what they do and what industries. You mentioned, you know, if you're an insurance business, it's probably, on the face of it, might, from the layman me, it'd be a bit more difficult to bring a personality to your business than it would be if, I'm trying to think of an example. If you're a,
I've got an example. It's so funny. I didn't deliberately mean to say insurance earlier and you brought it up. There is a company, I wrote this down here, it's a perfect example. It's called Marshmallow. And they're an insurance company, and they're the most character-driven brand I've seen. It's phenomenal what they do. And they've turned Marshmallow into a character, and they've built it into their brand to basically humanize something that doesn't have feelings and emotion. Insurance is, you know, insurance is what you don't want to tap into when things have gone wrong. But they've been absolutely brilliant in it in terms of creating a character, humanizing it, and building a personality into something which then changes the way that you connect and approach with an insurance company. And it's working, they're growing exponentially. So yeah, it's funny we mentioned insurance, but if you look up Marshmallow, perfect example of how to bring personality into a field that doesn't traditionally have it.
Absolutely. I was going to ask as well about, I guess, the difference between big brands and smaller businesses, or, you know, one man band business type things, because I think probably there's a bit of a perception that's quite difficult to build a brand when it's just you, or maybe just a small number of people, because budget for a start, I guess, but also just that kind of be known for what you are. It'd be interesting to know your thoughts on that and the type of things maybe smaller businesses can do to help themselves.
I think it's a really interesting question. It's actually the reason why I founded the company, and I want to be careful because I don't want this to be a pitch for what we do, but actually it resonates with the reason why we did Single Thread, which is that the perception is it's the big boys, only the big boys that can afford the agencies that come up with these really creative, personality-driven ideas. You know, there's, I think people don't realize how many people are involved in creating these brands. It's dozens and dozens and a large amount of time, and it costs a lot of money. And it's maybe something that people feel that they can't afford, or maybe that by building a personality, you need a lot of money to do it. And actually, it's not that way around. I think personality comes in many ways. I think half the planning is subconscious. I mean, it only takes 7 seconds to make a first impression. So whether you're looking at a website or an advert or whatever, there is a subconscious initial impression that makes a connection that you trust or you don't trust it. And then you look a little bit further. That doesn't require £100,000 brand identity from a massive global branding company. It just needs some very careful forethought and some strategy into what are your values and what are you doing and how are you going to connect with people. So, you know, I don't think that big personality and branding isn't, so it doesn't have to be connected with the big agencies. And that's the reason why we've done Single Thread. I just think it needs, I think really it's just about having a clear strategy about what you're doing and why you're doing it. And then through that, you can then build in human traits. And at the end of the day, a brand is a lot of human traits that come together to create something visual. You're looking at your tone of voice, the language and how you write. You're looking at personality, color. There's a whole, you know, the psychology of color is a crazy thing, but it's a whole nother world, but looking into the color. So it is. I don't think it's still just about creating a funny little character that's humanized. I don't think that's about personality. Personality can come in very, very subtle ways.
Yeah, and I think personality as well is something where if you really want to develop that, you've probably got to accept that you're not, everyone's not going to like you, if that makes sense. I don't mean that in a negative way, that if you try to appeal to everyone, you appeal to nobody a little bit, that kind of. So an example that popped into my head, it's a slightly random one, is the compare the market meerkat thing. Is, you know, it's got a brand personality, hasn't it? And people know that really well.
Yes.
And obviously the fact that I brought it up tells you that. There's probably some people who, every time it comes on telly, hate that bloody meerkat.
There's a reason why they haven't changed it for a decade, isn't it? I mean, longer than a decade. It works. You're allowing people to emotionally connect to a service that you're doing that you wouldn't normally emotionally connect. I think something you said a bit earlier really resonated with me then as well, which is that I think that with competition and fierce competition, I think that brands are becoming quite homogenized. There's a cluster effect of lots of people fighting for the same thing, and they're all emulating and copying and trying to beat each other. But what you end up with is this mushy, like I said, homogenized sort of sameness of genericness, because competition has generated that. And I think it takes a brave person or a brave company to go, do you know what? We're not going to be like everyone else. We're not going to compete with everyone else. Let's stand out. And I think that companies sometimes need to stand out from a competitive point of view, or maybe they want to stand out from a personality point of view. But leading back to what you're saying, I think you're right. I think because we're living in a digital age and competition is more than it's ever been, because we have access to so much information now, I think now more than ever, because of the clustering effect, I think now's the time where companies can take that opportunity to stand out and be a little bit more creative in terms of their branding and not be afraid to do something to break the mold, I think.
Yeah, and it's something, you know, I've been guilty of this as well, is that you got to remember, I would imagine that the vast majority of people who are watching this or listening to this, if they got 1% of their market that was available to them, they would build a very successful business and they would be absolutely delighted with that. So
yes.
I think with that mindset of, you know, you don't have to please anyone, that's kind of almost what I was trying to get at, is you got to accept that if you're building a personality, it will also push some people away, but that's all right. That's fine. Does that make sense?
No, it does. I've actually seen some data. There was some, I don't know who did this data. I saw it. There's an incredible strategist. What's his name? Alex Smith, amazing guy who simplifies strategy down into its simplest forms. And he, on one of his TED Talks, I saw some data on this. And he was showing that basically if you want to compete for the entire global market, but everyone's competing for it, the way that it ends out is that it's the ones that are only going for the 1%, but they control more of the market because they're going for the 1%. They're not trying to get 99% of the market. When they looked at the end results of all of these, it's actually the 1%ers made more money and did better than the ones that were trying to do the global market, because it's so competitive. I mean, unless you're Apple, you're the Apples of the world and Microsoft. But if you exclude all those guys, if you're in the middle of this ginormous pot of people fighting for the same marketplace, if you're on a global, it actually, just purely from a mass point of view, it looks like it's better to be the 1%.
Oh, interesting you say that. Yeah, because it just feels like that. I wonder if part of it is that you've kind of accepted that you're not going to make everybody happy, and that's part of building that personality. It gives you that the courage to do it, I guess, to stand out.
Courage is the right word. And this is, I mean, brave and courage is the one that I'm using the most with clients at the moment, is just to, I mean, we've got three clients at the moment where we're doing a rebrand, and it's saying to them, you don't have to be like everyone else. Because you're in a competitive market, it doesn't mean you have to do what everyone else is doing, you know. And people, you know, just as human beings, we remember the people the more memorable people that you meet in your life aren't the ones because they were like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And I think the same principle applies to business. You know, if you've got 20 companies that are all the same, it's hard for any of them to be memorable and stand out. Suddenly there's this one that has a personality that is doing something a little bit different. They're the ones that you connect with. They're the ones that you remember. So, it is about, you're absolutely right. I think it's about being brave, and now's the time, because I think that where we are with the digital age and what's happening and how fully integrated it is now. It's not a, there's still a trajectory, but we're all fully integrated, whether it be through social media or through the internet. I think now more than ever is the time to stand out and the time to be different and the time to be brave.
100%. And hopefully we've kind of covered a bit there in terms of the why. I guess the really interesting thing is the how.
The how's the fun bit.
Yeah.
Why do you want to do for a living? I love this bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. And obviously there's going to be no one true answer for everybody because every business is different, but it'd be interesting to kind of get your thoughts on the, maybe some of the generic stuff that's the how, but also even some specific examples. You touched on earlier is great that, you know, there might be somebody who's watching this who's starting their business today. And, you know, the reality is probably don't have the budget to spend as we touched on earlier.
Yes.
But they might have in 3 years, 5 years time. But if they started the steps now, it's going to be easier in 3 and 5 years time.
I think, you know, I mean, building personality into your brand can be done in the simplest and easiest ways. I mean, literally, my partner's in the office at the moment working with a company that's been going for 100 years. They sell PPE and polythene packaging, probably the most unglamorous, unsexy industry you can imagine. And we've got an opportunity to look at how we can rebrand and bring some personality into it. And it comes in the smallest of ways. It can be literally a change of your typography. So not even starting, even if you have an established brand, not even throwing it away, but just looking at typography and what type does and how it works with people's brains, the way that you're using color, the positioning in the space. So just two or three very simple things that are very quick and very easy can fundamentally change the way that your brand is perceived by that user, simply to do with spacing, positioning, and type. It's all subconscious. Very rarely do people consciously process that I like that typography and that space means something to me. Therefore, I like this. I'm going to read more. It's very instant and very subconscious. So I think that personality can be built in very simple, cost-effective, easy ways, just with some clever strategic design. But then it grows. I think that copywriting is the unsung hero when it comes to branding. I think the written word is as important as the visual word, and we all get intoxicated by what we're looking at, but actually the copy is just as important and the way that you write is just as important. And I think personality, if you've made that first impression and you've hooked someone in, they're then going to want to read what it is that you're doing. And that's where your personality really gets to shine. And I think that great copywriting, there's an art to it. And saying a lot with not many words is very, very difficult. I think it's the hardest type. But that's where you bring your personality, for sure. And it goes on. It's photography, your imaging, positioning, layout. Oh, my goodness me. We could just go on and on and on. But it doesn't have to be massive. And I think that's the key thing. I think that for people who have an established company, don't be afraid to be able to, we call it a brand refresh, just to have a fresh perspective and look at trying to bring your personality into the business.
Yeah, funny enough, I was going to mention that. How important are the individual or individuals in this? Because I guess in a way from a, you know, if it's just you in the business, it's almost... you and the business are almost very interlinked, so it's probably easier in a way to bring your personal personality out. But obviously also for slightly bigger businesses or very big businesses, how important is that everybody is along for the ride with that and has bought into that idea of what the brand is and the personality behind it?
I think it's to do with the foundations, the ethos of what your company is about and how important you are as a part of that. If your connection to your users, to your clients is important, I think putting you at the forefront is a really big and important move as part of building your brand. But I think in a lot of businesses, it's not needed. You know, especially if you're selling commodities where it doesn't really matter who the owner is and it doesn't really matter who the individuals are, you're just looking at best price, best value, the trust elements are there. I don't think you need the human element of it. But I think that what you can do with a company, no matter how big it is or what you're doing, I think you can bring in the personalities of its founders, of its stakeholders. I think you can bring those into play in subtle ways. So it's less about a picture of a person or what they're saying, But you could, it could be the vibrancy of the color, the intensity of what you're doing. It could be the style of writing that you do, whether it's traditional, if it's got heritage, or whether you're going for a really punchy modern way of writing, the imagery that you use, the type of website that you have. I think all of these are indicators of the personality of the people behind the screen that you don't get to meet, but they're giving a sense of what makes this company runs, what's its value. So yes, I don't have an answer for that, and I don't think it's one thing fits all. It's more to do with the way that you run your company.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because there was some really high profile examples of really, really huge businesses where the individual personalities have been at the fore, and I always think Richard Branson's a great example of that, and the kind of the Virgin stuff, and I guess Steve Jobs and Apple. You mentioned Apple earlier. There's an extent of that as well, but there's also a lot of very, very big businesses that probably 99.9% of us don't know an individual at the top of that business.
It is, but you know, with this trend of personality, you know, branding personality now as well, it's interesting that this is coming. And I suppose this is all coming back to this human connection, isn't it? So you have a company that has a commodity and a value, something that you sell, but now what's happening, this trend is to actually bring the human element to one side and actually brand the personality, not just the business itself. It's just not for everybody. That's the thing.
But Elon Musk I've just thought of him as probably the most high profile modern example, I would say, of this. Yeah. For better or for worse, maybe with that one.
But what I love about him is that it's all cards on the table. Love him or hate him, there's no filter. So I think that he's an interesting one, that he is a brand within himself, but yet his brand doesn't have any parameters because no one can control him, which I kind of love, because you just don't know where you're going to land with this guy. Richard Branson's a perfect example, but the other way is extremely manipulated, extremely controlled, how he's presented and how he's perceived. But his face is very important to that business. I think there'll be a lot of people who just don't want to be there. I mean, I'm not interested in putting my face at the front of, but you are front and center with your business, and it's needed. But I mean, for me, no. But for other people, yes. It's just about what works for you, I think. But at the end of the day, I think we all connect to humans. So I think that it's more of a positive than a negative if you're bringing the personality or a face of a founder or an operator to the front.
Absolutely, sir. I guess we've touched on a few examples actually in this conversation, and it'd be interesting to know if you've got any more that maybe people haven't thought of that are a little bit different, different industries like that. Because there's always the big examples, but you've already mentioned one that's not heard of before, which is a great example. I'm going to go check that out. Is there any other ones that you can think of? And even if it's not specific, just the type of things.
I was just reading, I think, is it Polygram, the agency, the company that did the work for Channel 4, their stuff is incredible. You know, you want to talk about personality. You have a number 4, but yet they built multiple personalities within one logo, depending on what channel you're watching and what the programming is, and then how they integrate that. I think that there's actually a name for it. I think they've called it a brand system. They've got, so it's how your brand is integrated into every touch point of your entire identity. And I think Channel 4 is spectacular what they've done. I mean, that absolutely blows me away. And then you've got things like, I mean, I've got another example. There's an agency called Treacle, and they are an agency for agencies. They help agencies find their brand, find their narrative, to get their messaging right. And from a copywriting point of view, they were so profound for us that actually I rewrote our website based on the way that they were writing. And that branding is from a copywriting perspective, the use of language, the use of tone, the use of approachability, simplifying things and getting straight to the point and just cutting through the fog. I just think they're a great, great example. And, you know, I think that from a copy point of view, a lot of people do, I've noticed that the common trend at the moment is to try and say everything, and people feel that they need to use their website or they need to use their advert or they need to use their social media to say absolutely everything because they want to get everything across. And actually, from a branding point of view and a personality point of view, it comes back the opposite way. That sometimes you can say a lot more with a lot less if you're strategic with what it is that you're trying to say. I need to learn from that because I waffle a lot and I talk too much.
But I'm guilty, so don't worry about that.
But when we're actually writing, it's a different story. There's an act to it. So Treacle was a really interesting one. Marshmallow, brilliant. Channel 4. I was reading again another story, maybe not to do with brand, but I was just really fascinated with the Nokia story where, you know, they owned the entire market share for phones until Apple came along. Apple came and did something beautiful and wonderful and new, and Nokia made the mistake of basically trying to compete with them. So Nokia, famous because their phones don't break, they last forever, the battery lasts for a year, they're indestructible and they're easy to use. Apple came in, they tried to compete with them, they tried to make their phone like Apple, and of course they flopped because they're not Apple. And I just was reading that story last night, and just that really resonated with me that you know, when it comes to brand, don't try and be like everybody else, don't try and copy a competition, find your own values and stick with them and then highlight those. I think if Nokia just stuck at what they did and said, oh great, yeah, Apple's here, they do beautiful phones that break really easily but with great screens and a great camera, we don't do that, we do this, if they stuck at it, they probably still would have been one of the biggest phone companies in the world. So it's an interesting story. It's just, I suppose, when it comes to your brand, is focus on what makes you unique and bring that to the highlight.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I've read something similar with BlackBerry, actually, as well. Is it very similar in that industry?
Yes.
And what they did, obviously, they were very much the business market, weren't they? They were given as the thing that you could use for your emails and things like that. And they then, once Apple came along, tried to build a phone for us, the consumer, the general consumer, and exactly the same way as Nokia. So they both made exactly, from a different angle, obviously, what their strengths were, but essentially the same mistake.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting. And then I've got stories that are on a much, much smaller scale. I mean, we've got clients that we're working at the moment who, you know, won't name them, but we've got one that's in telemarketing, and you look at the industry and they're all trying to copy each other. And there's just this opportunity to be extremely unique and create a personality where a personality doesn't belong. Like we were talking about insurance earlier, and other industries where you don't expect it. Yeah, I think the personality is just really, it's just a really important part, probably more than ever now, to look at creating a personality and giving yourself an opportunity to make a unique connection. And as you said at the very beginning, everything's based on feelings. No matter what we're selling or doing, there's emotions involved in all of it.
Absolutely. So one final question from me, Max, if you don't mind, which we've kind of touched on it a few times in most of the bits we've talked about, is around strategy, actually. And how important is that to have that strategy behind all this? And how important, and how, and I guess kind of almost for people maybe again that can afford a big brand agency to spend thousands and thousands of pounds doing for it, what can they do to kind of at least get some things in place that is part of their strategy? It doesn't have to be too complex, I guess.
I think that, first of all, I think strategy, it's easier than people think it is, and it can be a lot simpler than it is. I think it's been made very, very overcomplicated. I mean, I literally went to a strategy training course to literally run our internal strategy side by side with a big company just to see how they interlink. And it just all felt so complicated, so many acronyms, so many complex theorems behind all of it. And it just feels, I think strategy just needs to be a lot, lot simpler. My personal view is, I think that when you are, to be able to do great strategy, you need to be able to zoom out. You need to be able to get far enough away from your company to see things in a holistic, complete, total perspective. I think when you're in the middle, you're running your company, you're founding a company, you're starting something, you're building it. When you're in the middle, you're managing so many challenges and so many problems, it's very, very difficult to get the right perspective to make strategy simple. So you're doing reactionary strategy rather than the big thinking. I think that strategy can break down to some pretty simple things, which is, you know, I think that it's like, where are you going? What do you need to do? And how do you need to get that message across? And I think by coming far enough out of your business and looking at it from point of view, if you can answer these core questions, I think that all the smaller questions come together a lot easier. When you've got the bigger picture. So when we do strategy with our clients, I think a lot of the time it's trying to pull them out of the middle of their company and get them to see it from a different perspective, basically. Yeah. And I don't think strategy needs to be expensive. I think it's something that gets overcharged a lot for. I think it's incredibly important. But I think you could end up with a 50-page strategy proposal where actually you only need a couple of pages of it to really make a difference in your business. And I think it's never too late. I even think if your company's 5-10 years old, I think it's never too late to stop and rethink about the direction you're going, why you're doing it, and who you're doing it for, to give yourself the right perspective.
Completely agree. And I think that's a great way to finish this conversation. But before we do, Marcus, you want to kind of just explain if anyone wants to get a hold of you, find out more about what you do, where's the best kind of places to go, look, find you, all that stuff?
Yes. Okay. Well, obviously we're on social media. LinkedIn's probably the best place. Marcus Morganetti I don't think there's anyone else with the same name in the country. So you can find me quite quickly. We have our website, which is singlethread.co.uk, which has everything on it, including our work. Or you'll find us on Google. If you put in design agency for the area, you should find us. But singlethread.co.uk is probably the best way.
And as always with these conversations, I always put the details in the show notes as well. So whether you're on YouTube or by the podcast platforms, it should always be on there. If for whatever reason it hasn't appeared, which that's me getting something wrong, just let us know at Northern Affinity and I can always pass you on to Marcus as well. So, I just want to say thank you. I find it a fascinating subject, brand, something I've learned a lot about over the last few years. And I think, yeah, we could continue this conversation forever, but I don't want to give all your secrets away.
You need a day for it, yeah, but for sure. But thanks for the opportunity to chat with you and to scratch the surface a little bit.
Really enjoyed it. Thank you, Marcus.